Hebrews chapter 4. We shall begin reading at verses number 14. It is fascinating that the Hebrew writer, and there's no definite author who they say wrote the book of Hebrews, and many say Paul wrote the book, but knowing the type of writing that Paul writes, I can see somewhat of his writing, but I can't pinpoint it because Paul is so dynamic in the 13 books that he wrote in the New Testament. And so many authors and scholars began to call it the Hebrew writer. But we know the book is guided by the Holy Spirit of God, written to second generation individuals who were members of the body of Christ. And yet this book deals with the transcendent, the New Testament, where God began to transverse Old Testament concept to New Testament concept. And he tries to show people how they did things in the old law that God makes for better when we make sure that we picture and put ourselves under that kind of priestly function. And so when you look at the book of Hebrews, you should gather some strength from the book of Hebrews, because what God is trying to take us is to another era that we've never been before. Look at chapter 4, and you can see somewhat of his writing and some of the ideas, and we'll gather the information. The Bible said, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now get that now. I want you to hear every word and take every word serious and hear the flavor. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But notice what it said. But in all things tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. And we will need it. You can say what you want. We will need it. The word I want to play with on today is coming out of verse number 15, where the Bible says, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched. The word is cannot. Negation now. That cannot be touched. Present, passive, middle participle. He cannot be touched volitionally. He cannot be touched. The word is touch. Just that simple word. It's something about Jesus. It's something about him that is so amazing. It is so invigorating, because he is somebody that no matter what he went through when he came to earth, he knew how to touch individuals. No matter what your problem was, no matter what the problem is now, Jesus knows how to touch us. Human beings may not know how to touch us and relate to us, but Jesus knows how to touch us. Something special about Jesus. When all your odds are down, when things seem like they're not going the right way, it's funny how God, on the right nick of time, always sends somebody to touch us. And we all need touching sometimes. And you know, it's interesting, because when you think about the word touch, it is the Greek word. When you look at the word, it's a word called sympatheos. Now, the word sympatheos, where we get our English word, sympathize. God knows how to sympathize with us. Some of us are not sympathetic, you know, when it comes to certain issues, because we are so bogged down with our issues that we don't have time to be sympathetic about somebody else. We may all say we care about folk, but a lot of us realize the fact that only one really cares is Jesus. We care to some extent, but Jesus cares more than anybody else in the world. And see, that's why we need to put our stake now in Jesus, because he knows how to touch us. And whenever you're getting worried, whenever you're getting troubled, and whenever you are terrified by things, you need to understand that God was sent here to touch you. Your situation, every last one of us, are different. They're different. Nobody can understand
What it is that you have gone through. What it was that you went through. What it is that you're struggling with. But God knows. And that's why God sent Jesus. Because Jesus knows how to touch you. Now it's interesting because when you look at this writing about Hebrews letter, he says now because it was proven now by psychologists that they did a test of babies. And they said they test all these babies and they said the babies that was touched the most grew the most. They said they laid these babies and they put them in these little bassinet and they let them sit there, but they didn't touch the baby. And the one that were not touched was the one that was more troubled, the one that was more fidgety, the one that were more kind of upset and crying a lot. But they said the babies that they held and touched, they were more calmer, they were more stronger, they grew more faster. There may be something to that because it's the idea that somehow we get bogged down with something that in life growing up, sometimes our parents don't know how to touch us enough. Sometimes our parents do not spend enough time with us. Sometimes when we're growing up, they don't share with us enough. And so somehow the touch of a mother and father sometimes can throw us off psychologically. And what it is that we began to suffer now from low self-esteem, and low self-worth. And sometimes we come down on ourselves and we feel nobody cared. But Jesus is not like that. Jesus is somebody who can touch us. Look at number one. The Bible talks about here the uniqueness of the Hebrew writing because when he talks about this verse, go back to verse number 14 if you will. Let me do some work here before I get you riled up too much. See, touching stimulates us. You gotta have, it's not a sin. It's not a sin to touch. Now I know 1 Corinthians chapter 7 said for a man not to touch a woman. Now, when he used the word touch there, he used the word touch because the word touch there means having sexual affair without being in holy wedlock. So he says, don't touch a woman now if you're not going to marry her. Now, he says, you're going to burn your love, then get married. But now that's a good idea because, everybody, even husband and wife, have to be touched, Children have to be touched. But we're talking about that physiologically. But what we're talking about here is spiritual. All of us need to be touched spiritually because there are times when we're going to have difficult times. We need Jesus to understand what we're going through. And so what it is, in verse number 14, watch what he does now because he came to touch us. He came and in that touch now, it becomes spiritual. It becomes salvational. In other words, whatever Jesus is doing, he gives us salvation. And when we accept it by him, what it is, our understanding, the salvation process is going to be a part of the touching that Jesus allowed to keep us calm. I don't know if you got that. Our understanding, hearing and believing and receiving the word, repenting, confessing, being baptized is going to be a part of the touching process. Because see, when you go down the water, that's called conditioning. When you go down the water through the word, so faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now Romans 10:17 says, I hear word and my faith is produced and I'm getting in the water and I'm being baptized. Now the process now of what Jesus can do of touching me is unique. Why? Because I've obeyed his will. Now I feel now the touching. Now I got to have faith now to make that operative. Now here it is here. The Bible says in verse number 14, seeing thing that we have such a great high priest. And get this now. Get this first of all. Get this now. The location here of priest. Now in the Old Testament, you got to understand that in the Old Testament, priests, you couldn't touch them. You hear what I just said? Old Testament, you cannot touch a priest. So then, if you couldn't touch a priest, then you had to be away from that spiritual divine individual. You couldn't get close. Why? Unless you contaminate them. But Jesus changed all of that. Why? Jesus came and gave us something better. In other words, Jesus said, if I come now, I want to be able to give you something that you didn't already have. In other words, in the Old Testament, they could touch the high priest. But in the New Testament, I want to make you better. I want to put back to you what you didn't really have. I want to touch you. In other words, Brother Rich, help me out. I want to touch you. I want to feel the vibration of your thought. I want to feel the vibration of your handling yourself psychologically. So what it is, I want to touch you. I want to see what you really are. I want you to let you know that I love you. In other words, the touch becomes a different handle. Stay right there. It becomes a different handle. So when he says that, if you look at your Bible, when he says that, he says, see, then we have a high priest that is passed into the heaven. Note now, Jesus has passed his death, his burial, his resurrection. He's passed through the heaven now, and he done it for a purpose. He done it and passed that way, so whatever it is that he does now, he wants now to be able to touch the touch that we didn't always have, the touch that our mother and father didn't give us, the touch that maybe a preacher didn't give, a touch that maybe an uncle didn't give it. Now, I'm not talking about these detrimental touches that people do, these violation of kids, sexual. I'm not talking about that. Look here, those are minds that are messed up. Those are sick people when they began to talk about and go into sexual concept where they're hurting individuals. Those are sick people. I'm talking about having the mind of God, being spiritual enough to touch somebody with the idea of what you are, how special they are, and yet your thought is not running away with you.
Amen.
In bad areas. Jesus said, here, if you look at the Bible, he says, seeing that we have this high priest that's passed into the heaven, the Bible said, Jesus, the Son of God, he said, let us, here's the thing now, if he's done that, he says, let us hold fast our profession. Now, what's the profession now? The profession here is simply meaning that what it was that Jesus did, now he professed it where you profess it, and when you get baptized, you profess what it is that he done to get you that profession. In other words, when you became a child of God, you hold a profession. In other words, profession has to do with spiritual things. It's spiritual. Everywhere you go, it's spiritual. Your profession is spiritual. Your thought is spiritual. Your hand and your wife is spiritual. Your children is spiritual. It's a profession. Your coming to church is spiritual. It involves involvement. I know. Sometimes we sit in church houses as if we have no feeling. Some of you sitting here right now like you have no feeling. You act like you haven't. Look here. If I brought a match back there and put it on you, you'll jump like crazy. You know why? Because number one, you have triggered your mind psychologically to not to feel the uniqueness of what God does, what God gives. And what you're doing, you're playing hardball. And when you play hardball, you're upset with some things in your life, you're disappointed with some things in your life, and you try to play so hard that you can't get the benefit of what Jesus is able to give you. That's a psychological game. In other words, the big thing is, you just, H-U-R-T, you just hurt. You'll be surprised how many folk in the church out just plain hurt. You try to do the best you can, and you look back in your past, and you're still hurt. You try to move forward, but you're still hurt. And that's why he died for you, because he wanted to give you understanding of your profession. He can touch you. And that's why the Bible says, let us hold. And look at the word now. The Bible said, let us hold fast. And look at now. The word is a present subjunctive now. Now, present subjunctive is a habitual ongoing action. I got to keep habitually holding on. In other words, if I don't keep holding on to somebody who want to touch me, then I lose it. In other words, he says, keep on holding on habitually. Keep on holding on to something, a profession. Who gave me the profession? Jesus did. So we must hold on to our profession. Now, it's interesting because subjunctive said it's without the shadow of a doubt. In other words, if I'm going to hold something, stand up with me now. If I'm going to hold something, I can't grab something and think that I can't have life. Whenever God give me something, if I'm going to hold something now, I got to hold as if that thing can hold me.
Yeah.
Now, I can't profess something that I don't believe. Look, it's fibulous, church. Listen, it is fibulous for us to grab something and yet not let that thing hold us. Well, why did you grab it in the first place?